Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror, our top 5 2020. I'm Daniel Shine. That's Pugs Dread.
Namaste. Happy New Year.
Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
And Todd Loya.
I'm almost with the long pause.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I've got a lag. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I paused. Well, maybe I paused. Maybe
you paused.
It was like, I was like, is he not going to introduce me? Is maybe he trying to do something clever?
Maybe I was putting you over, Todd. Maybe I was just like trying to put a little like.
You know what? He mentally said, as always, but just.
That's what it was.
Whatever. That's. I get shit even when I don't say it, so I guess I'll just start doing it again. God
damn. Yeah. Read. Also, I need to call the FBI.
I have been nice. You're already a dick again, and we're not even a week into 2020, but it's okay. All right, so we're here tonight to talk our top five.
Dave's not even going to give a shout out. RIP to Tanya Roberts. I'm shocked.
Oh, well, yeah. Rest in peace.
He's very like,
I don't know. Wait another day to see exactly.
Rest in peace, Tommy Roberts. That always sucks when you get those fake ones. Then, yeah. But, yeah, she will be missed. She will be missed. But you got that Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray to relive those great movie memories.
And she is featured interviewed on it, so check it out.
God, did I just say booby memories?
It's all right.
I did to be disrespectful. Movie memories.
You meant both, but I get it. You're trying to stay classy. It doesn't help.
Trying to stay classy. But anyways, so we are here to talk the best of 2020, which was a stellar year for horror. I think we would definitely all agree with that. Very hard to make this list. I literally... One changed my mind on 5 minutes before showtime, so that shows you it's stacked. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be counting down each of our top five personal favorites of 2020. We're gonna kind of go in order. I'll do one and go around the table and see how we stack up. We have no idea. None of us have talked about our lists, so we're going in blind. I have no idea what you guys are picking. So, all right. So, I'll kick it off first. So, this spot has changed so many times, and 2020 is kind of the year of bleak. So, I had to have at least one that was fun, that wasn't too bleak. Although in some ways, I guess it kind of is. And that is the Belgian zombie film Yummy from Lars Demoys. And this is one that I believe, if I recall, we all really liked. It's just a fun movie. Not as deep as some of the other picks I suspect we'll see tonight, but it's just a fun movie that made me happy and made me smile in 2020. So that is my number five. How about you, Pugs?
Okay. Well, my number five, I actually saw late in the game. It's streaming now on Netflix and it's His House. And that one, that fifth spot, was hard to fight for. There's a lot of, I'm like going back and forth, but I just think that movie and those eyeballs did it. So that's my number five is His House. And shocker, it's a POC movie.
Oh, I didn't know what it meant.
He was like, people Tupac of color, was man. In it? Close.
Tupac dead.
Yeah, my number five actually was The Rental, which we reviewed a couple months back. Just absolutely love that slasher. It like already won me over before it even turned into a slasher movie. So like everything at the end was, you know, just extra for me. And it's just beautifully shot. It's brutal when it, you know, it needs to be. And I thought just had like one of the best endings of any movie in 2020. And it also being Dave Franco's directorial debut. I mean, fucking so strong. Really hope that movie gets a sequel. So, yeah, that's my number five. So, Todd, what's your number five?
I actually went back and forth on this one, too, quite a few times. And I'm already, like, looking and, like, wanting to change my mind again. And so difficult. Rent-A-Pal, that's my number five.
Nice.
It was Invisible Man, but it didn't deserve that spot.
Yeah, Rent-A-Pal's actually on my honorable mentions.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to do that. Dan's on and you, Kruger. What is it? Rent-A-Pal, The Rental, and Yummy so far have been on my honorable mentions. So I'm gonna toss that fucking list. And
put the rent. That was covered. Like the first one we disagree on. But I don't. Yeah, I guess I was the odd man out on the rental. But
I you're the only one that didn't give it a five.
Yeah, I had Yummy on mine also.
It hit too close to home for Dan.
Yeah, Yummy's actually on my list a little bit later. It's one of my numbers down lower.
All right. So, going to the number four spot. Damn. This is also one that I saw a little bit later in the year, not that long ago, actually. And that is Justin G. Dick's Anything for Jackson, which for me, the way that blended heartbreak and even sprinkling in comedy and not sacrificing anything. I thought this is an insanely unique horror film, and it's got to be my number four. I loved Anything for Jackson. Pugs, what's your number four?
Well, that was on my honorable mentions list, so excellent. My number four is A Good Time with a big actor, and it's Freaky. I had too much fun not to include this on the list. I had a ball. I've seen it quite a few times now, and it's funnier. Like Beetlejuice says, it gets funnier every time I see it. So
nice. Yeah, Freaky was on my honorable mentions, and so was Anything for Jackson. Both of those were fucking great films, some of the best all year. My number four is none other than the Australian vampire flick Blood Vessel. That movie was fucking badass. One of the best vampire movies I've seen, or actually got me to say, because like at the beginning of the year, I saw a couple of vampire movies that just weren't good. And I was like, oh, I'm done with vampires. And then that movie just made me go, oh, no, I'm not. And I honestly think that's the best vampire movie since 30 Days a Night. So yeah, Blood Vessel is now streaming on Shudder. So make sure you check that one out. Great practical effects in that motherfucker. And just so many scenes in there that just make you say, oh, this is so badass. So definitely one of my favorites all year. So, Todd, what's your number four?
This will be a surprising one. My number four is Aqua Slash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I watched it 10 times this year. I was like, I don't know how I can't. So
it's, yeah, you know, it's short. So, like, you can get it in, like, real quick. And it is really satisfying. I was surprised, like, how well that one was. And it does kind of play out like a giallo, too. So, it's pretty cool.
I will give that one particularly amazing kill in it. I know I wasn't quite as positive, but yeah, it's worth it for that kill. Freaky's not on my honorable mentions, but look at how diverse we are tonight. So far, we haven't had a matched spot yet, have we?
Well,
interesting.
You and I have, but
we'll see how it goes.
Okay, all right. So we're now going to the number three spot, which for me coming in at number three is John Stevenson's Rent-A-Pal, which what a movie and what a year for this movie. I think it has an amazing performance from Brian Landis Fulkins that I've compared it to Joe Spinell. I thought he was amazing. That is my number three, Rent-A-Pal. How about you, Pugs?
Oh, yeah. Got it in. Number three for me is The Dark and the Wicked. that movie is just too scary not to include, and I had a blast. And I haven't revisited it yet, but I really plan on to soon, because yeah, it's fucking, that movie's the shit. So
yeah, Dark and the Wicked is also one of my honorable mentions. It didn't quite make my list, but yeah, definitely one of the best off here. And Rent-A-Pal 2 on my honorable mentions. Brian Fulkins, like, I really hope there's more in horror, because he gave like Oscar winning performance, to be honest with you. So my number three is Yummy. Dan already brought it up earlier, and I'm actually really surprised that one made it as high as it did, but man, it was just such a good time. So many cool kills in that. And it wasn't like there's so many scenes in there that I was not expecting at all. And it just gets batshit crazy. And it's probably one of my favorite zombie movies in the past like 10 years, to be honest with you. So yeah, that's my number three.
A lot of rewatch value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My number three is, Dan is going to love this one, is The Rental. So
nice.
Yeah,
we're diverse.
Yeah,
movie's awesome. You're crazy.
People agree with you. There's some do, some don't. That one split people though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dan.
All right, we went around fast. All right, so my number two, getting in there, is The Dark and the Wicked from Brian Bertino. That film is pure dread. I mean, what a horror movie. That's all I can really say. Dark and the Wicked. How about you, Pugs? What's number two for you?
Number two for me, this movie, like, I think I was the only one that was super, like, super high on this one. It's The Wolf of Snow Hollow, because it just borrows from, like, a lot of my favorites. It's a serial killer movie with like a werewolf type thing. Yeah, it's just, and it's dry and dark humor. That's all me right there. So props to The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Love it.
My number two is actually VFW. Joe Bigos shot the shit out of that movie. So many awesome kills. He compiled an amazing cast, and just that movie is a fucking kick-ass time, and so much rewatchability. It's like, you know, Assault on Precinct 13, but on like fucking steroids and crack. So I fucking love that goddamn film. Todd, what's your number two?
My number two, I'm sure I would be the only one of this one. I'll be surprised if any of you have this on your honorable mentions, and that is one of the last movies I saw theatrically before all this nonsense. Beneath Us.
I still need to see that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was good.
I'm definitely a big fan of that.
That was really good.
So
you know what? I did not have in my honorable mentions, but I'm just gonna say
I went through all thousands of my movies to figure out what I watched, really you like the most, watch the most, and so I said number one's gonna be controversial.
Okay. Oh, so number one is your controversial spot?
But okay. You'll know why.
I figured it wasn't that, because I was like, I think we loved that one. So, all right, number one. Okay, so horror, there's a lot that could have taken the number one spot this year, but I think this one gets the nod because I experienced this, albeit on a much smaller level, obviously. And that is Natalie Erica James, her film Relic, which I think was just fantastic, and a very real horror that I think a lot of people end up going through at some point in their life. So that one's for me, Relic. How about you, Pugs? What is your number one?
Real Some Monsters is through the roof. I really don't show it that often. And I was super impressed with what they did with The Invisible Man. Also, I do like what the fuck's Elizabeth Moss? Yeah, she's fucking awesome.
You're ugly pretty.
Yeah, she's like homely and like, yeah, achievable.
You just built her up to knock her right down, didn't you?
Whatever. That movie's awesome. The update they did, fucking cool. and it's actually pretty mainstream on a low budget. I everything that movie did was fucking right and fantastic for me. So The Invisible Man.
Yeah, Invisible Man's on my honorable mentions. I really enjoyed that one too. They did a really good job. One of the probably Blumhouse's best movies all year. So my number one is a little controversial too, because I couldn't pick just one for my number one. There's a tie. And I fucking tried my best to knock one off the list. I just couldn't. So my number one is Color Out of Space. I fucking watched that movie more than anybody this year. I know it came out in like 2019 in the film, you know, the festival circuit, but you couldn't get your hands on it in January of 2020 for public release. And yeah, I love that movie. Nicolas Cage fucking does a great job. Richard Stanley, you know, he's one of the best fucking horror directors who's really doesn't like have a huge ass filmography. So we haven't really seen, you know, a lot from Richard Stanley. And back with a fucking punch, that movie has stop motion animation in it. I mean, how the fuck am I not going to love it? And, you know, it's a H.P. Lovecraft story. One of my favorite adaptations of his work. I think, yeah, I mean, it is as good as From Beyond for me, which is one of my favorite films of all time. But that tied with Brandon Cronenberg's Possessor. He just fucked it in that movie. That movie is brutal as fuck. So many trippy visuals that I loved. Everything basically in that movie was practical. And just fucking, it was a masterpiece. Probably the best sci-fi horror movie in the past 20 years, in my opinion. And that one I've rewatched also more than anything else this year. Yeah, even though it's long as hell, I fucking could watch that movie all day and not get tired of it. So, yeah, Possessor and Color Out of Space are my number one.
Both of those were in my honorable mention, and yeah. Knew you would take care of me, so fuck it.
Same. All right, my number one. So Kruger will not have seen either of my top two. Mine is, well, first I'm going to start with a happy belated 75th birthday to director Lloyd Kaufman, Troma's hashtag Shakespeare's shitstorm.
That should have come to me. I kept trying to figure it out.
I made a little comment because I was watching one of Lloyd's earliest, and I was talking about his. I was excited. I found that two of his earliest movies are like Easter eggs on those things. I was talking about him a little too much, so I thought I was going to give it away. I know. You really should have.
Honestly, we all should have seen that coming.
It's not in my list, but yeah. I did really love that movie. I mean, I thought it was very clever. And if you're a Troma fan, yeah, definitely.
It was
a fucking good time. Hell yeah.
He loved it too.
So those are our top fives for us. Nope. Yeah, no, exactly. Number crossovers.
I had
right?
Yummy, but it wasn't the same number, yeah. But number both on me and Dan's list.
Because we both had the Randall yeah. Kruger. We both had Randall
as well, yeah.
Wait, okay. Didn't Dan? You had Randall Powell also, right?
Yeah, yep. Dan had yep. Randall Powell. I didn't have Randall Powell, though.
Oh, you okay, you're on.
Honorable mentions, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of crossed.
For those keeping score, for me it was Relic. Number one, Dark and the Wicked, Rent-A-Pal, Anything for Jackson, and Yummy.
Dan has to do it like revert. Yeah, not 5-4-3-2-1. All right, Pugs, do it.
So four was Freaky. My number three was The Dark and the Wicked. My number two was The Wolf of Snow Hollow, and my number one was The Invisible Man.
Yeah, and me, my number five was The Rental. Number four was Blood Vessel. Three was Yummy. My number two was VFW, and my number one was a tie between Color Out of Space and Possessor.
All right, that leaves me. I was number five, Rent-A-Pal. Number four, Aquaslash. Number three, The Rental. Number two, Beneath Us. And number one, Troma's hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
There we go. So, we're pretty diverse this year.
Yeah. That's why we make a good team. So how are we going to start this honorable mentions bullshit?
I think mine.
You want to just read off the list and move on? Because
mine might be the shortest. Yeah, I mean, only because I think they're all coming anyways, but I've got a few that may or may not. Okay. I will throw out the Indonesian film, May the Devil Take You Too, which I had a blast with. I think probably all of us. Oh, that's a great movie. That almost made five. The Lodge.
Were you shaking her head? We didn't have it.
You didn't have it. I know. The Lodge was another one. Hashtag Alive. Great Korean zombie.
I had that one. Yeah.
Just didn't quite make my list. I would also throw out one that could have made it, but it was a little more in the dark comedy realm, and that was 12 Hour Shift. I thought that was. Yeah, it was a really good movie.
It's still a genre picture, so it would count.
It is, but it was hard. It's very tough competition this year, so it just didn't quite make it for me. But you know, hey, not a big deal.
Yeah, I had The Lodge on my list as well. For honorable mentions, I really did like that movie a lot. Even though I do wish they went harder at the ending. Hashtag Alive also. Hashtag Alive was one of my only fives that didn't make it on my list. That movie actually hit me pretty hard.
That was really good.
Yeah, and just back on The Lodge, though, I think The Lodge had maybe like one of the best acting performances all year. Holy shit, like she acted her ass off in that movie, so Pugs, you said you have some honorable mentions too.
And I don't like the three that I'll mention. I have more, but I'm just gonna do three, and if you don't go over them, I'll come over there. I don't think they'll be mentioned. Underwater. Oh, okay. My bad. Okay. Fucking Underwater was a mission to get to when we were out in the theaters. So I remember being mad at the movie and then it winning me over. So that almost made number five. Spree, I really like a lot. Oh. Scare Me. Yeah. I think that movie was fucking awesome. And then I'll do The Platform. It's not that horror-y, but that was just too good not to be included.
Did I say Mortuary Collection? I want to see if Kruger like has some. Maybe
no, you haven't.
Okay. That was five at one point. That's one that got bumped, but I loved it.
Yeah, Mortuary Collection actually is on my list. I also put Clive Barker's Books of Blood. I really did like that a lot. I had The Hunt on my honorable mentions as well. I think another one of the best acting performances with Betty Giblin playing the lead in that movie. She fucking killed it. Underwater, like Pugs already said, that movie's badass. And just like, it's kind of like Alien Underwater or Aliens Underwater to a sense. And I just had a goddamn good time. And that was one of the last movies I saw in the theater before COVID-19 happened. So I really had a good time with that one.
That's a good one to see.
Especially the big reveal. You know what I mean? I was happy I got to experience that in the theaters. I also have on my list Uncle Peckerhead. That movie just charmed the shit out of me. And I that's one I've watched a couple of times. Becky is on my list. I fucking love that. It's like an ultra violent Home Alone. I know Dan fucking can't accept the fact that that girl killed all those people, but I fucking love that goddamn movie. I also have Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight. That was fucking just a really good slasher. I think it was Norwegian, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Or no, it was Polish. It was Polish.
Oh, well, that's right.
And, that one was pretty good. Right. But that one really surprised me. Also on my list, Baba Yaga, Terror of the Dark Forest. I know we haven't covered that movie, but fucking really good goddamn film. I also had His House that was on Pug's list. That movie was great. The Cleansing Hour, I had too. That movie was really badass. I'm almost done here. I got Pentagore, which I just recently saw, and that movie kicked my ass. I fucking had a goddamn great time. And last but not least, I have The Dare, which was just a fucking great slasher. It was another one of those that like it would made it through its way through the festival circuit, but you couldn't get it on your hands to the public until 2020. Also a recent watch from me, a Spanish ghost story called 32 Melisana Street. Fucking amazing film, streaming now on Shudder. And I had a goddamn time with that one as well. So that's my long ass list of honorable mentions.
Oh, surprisingly, I still have. Okay, you go, Pug.
I got three. No. You go ahead, Ty. Yeah, well,
I still have quite more than I expected at this point.
Oh. Okay. Then the Porno was awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right,
12-hour Shift. And the last one was Gretel and Hansel. I really like that movie. I thought that was going to be like really up high, but everything kicked its ass.
All right. Well, the few I have left. Really good, Host. That one I really did like. Spontaneous was another one I really liked. Open 24 Hours.
Yeah.
Here's where I get their genre pictures or like, because I have We Down, which isn't horror, but it's a genre picture, and it was, you know, we covered it, but
yeah, from our exploitation, yeah.
Yeah, but it wouldn't really make the cut for what we're doing, but I do want to mention it.
It's a good movie, though. It really is.
If you like sleaze, Amityville Vibrator was fucking hilarious. Yeah, this is when I'm coming out for first. The Slashing 2, I had a shitload of fun with.
Castle Freak, another one we all liked.
I liked it, but I don't think I liked it enough
I did have fun with that movie, but it wasn't enough for me to give it the stamp of approval.
It was very entertaining, but I wouldn't call it a good movie because we really got the stinger is what got us all. Yeah. And Dan's mad I brought it up. All right. So hopefully we have Dan back momentarily. So
I'm actually really surprised Possessor wasn't on anybody else's list.
So like I had it on my honorable, but yeah, I actually thought that would be, hold on. What was the one you thought we were all gonna have? Because you gave me a letter, you're like, oh, it's gonna be R or something. What was the one?
Are you am I back? You hear me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. Couldn't tell. R. I think it was Rent-A-Pal.
Thought we were all gonna have.
Yeah, I thought that could even be a number one for some of you.
That is definitely Flesh Wound approved.
Yeah.
That was great. Fucking another one of those movies that I've actually rewatched a couple of times since I liked Rent-A-Pal a lot more the second time I watched it. I think the first time I was just kind of burned out on movies, and that's why I wasn't overly positive about it. But rewatching it, I think about a month ago, I was just like, fuck, this movie really is goddamn amazing. And when in areas that are a little taboo and you don't see that often. So I dug that.
Let me ask, does anyone have like a movie that jumps out? Well, this is the worst piece of shit I watched this year.
Oh, I do, but not a lot of them. Not a lot. It's been a good year.
Dan's going to say the Rental. Watch. You're going to get fucked up, Dan.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I'll throw out a couple.
Oh,
well, we know when our last review won't make it, because that was 2021.
Yeah,
but that would be 2021.
But, that one didn't even get a zero for me, so I was even more forgiving. But fucking Rogue, you guys made me watch that Megan Fox piece of shit. That movie I fucking hated, but it's not my... The worst was the Into the Dark, My Valentine. That was the fucking biggest stinking pile of fucking bullshit I've ever watched in my life. I fucking... That's literally like what made me stop watching Into the Dark for a good while. I was like, fuck.
That was the one where they're...
Yeah, it was about the pop singer and some girl like stole her gimmick. Yeah.
And that was shit.
Yeah.
I think I liked it more than
the rest too. Then it had to have Puka pop up at the end and fucking annoy me.
It didn't stick with me, so apparently I don't like it that much. But I don't remember hating it.
Some Puka action.
Fuck Puka.
Yeah, right. And one other one that I had on there was The Barge People. I fucking despised that movie because of all the fucking potential it had. Mm. I mean, I tore that movie's asshole open and fucking didn't leave any money on the counter.
I really don't have like a huge list of shit movies this year, to be honest. I will say The Turning, I think, was the worst theatrical. I thought that movie was just pointless.
It was pretty bad.
Totally different opinions on Freaky and The Rental, but we reviewed it. I'm not going to rehash it.
You didn't even rate those movies that bad. You gave them like threes.
Mm-hmm. Freaky, I gave a one. I'm pretty sure. In fact,
I don't remember rating it that low, but I may have to go back.
I remember Dan
going pretty low.
The rental was to me more just underwhelming. It wasn't like shit. I just didn't see much in it.
Well, like this is not what I was promised. So,
did you want more of the cult?
I honestly don't know. It was described to me by like people in horror I respect. Like, oh yeah, this is probably gonna be the scariest movie of the year. I'm like, fuck yeah, cool.
I wouldn't have called it the scariest movie of the year, but I thought it was like a good psychological. Like, I heard the same thing, and I kind of felt that way at first. But then I sat on it, like, because it does have a couple like really realistic looking deaths in it that like got to me, because like, you know, actually seeing somebody commit suicide, it looked pretty accurate to somebody commit suicide. But they should have went harder at the ending. And I think if they would have went harder at the ending, that would have won you fucking over, Pugs.
Maybe. Yeah. Because I remember clock watching in the theater, and I don't do that. I was like, I'm taking my phone.
What if she ended it by making a human centipede out of the kids? Because they really deserved it. So there you go.
Awesome.
I think maybe that was when you were shitting on going in because you saw it at one of the festivals.
I told you guys to lower your expectations. I think
that helped. So,
yeah.
I don't really have anything that jumps out immediately. Like, that was the worst thing of the year. There's just been stuff I haven't liked, but nothing that made me angry.
Yeah, there was like stuff like Boy 2, which wasn't good, but it didn't rise to the level of like piece of shit or anything.
Remember, She Dies Tomorrow? That one was a big stinker for me.
It's already like completely left my brain. I watched 11,000 movies last year, or 1,100.
It was super artsy. It did have a scene talking about dolphin sex, and I think that won a couple of you guys over. Another one too was that that movie Fear Farm. That movie fucking blew cock.
Yeah, that was not a good one.
Yeah.
Remember Lake of Death? That one fucking sucked ass too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that one was that's on my list.
Shudder delivered pretty good, but that was one of the ones that didn't.
I actually had one from Art. I didn't like it, but I gave it like a 2.5, so it wasn't like too fucking brutal. I wasn't too brutal on it. That fucking Lake of Death though, that thing was just fucking never ending fucking pool of note going nowhere. Yeah. And
nothing happened.
Also that one from Artsploitation, the dead ones, I fucking despised the hell out of that movie. That was the school shooter one. Mm-hmm. That had like all that CGI blood splatter. I was going fucking crazy.
It didn't live up to its premise, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
But I did like the school shooter angle to that.
Yeah. Antebellum was pretty
more
bad
of that,
too.
Please.
I didn't like it.
Oh, fuck yeah. I hated Antebellum. Did we all hate Antebellum? I can't remember.
Yeah. Again, there was potential there. I think I might have rated the highest, actually.
Yeah, I think you gave it a 2.5 or a 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's enact this.
But yeah, no.
Mix it with The Hunt.
Oh, my. It'd be kind of cool. Oh, no, that was last year. Never mind. I'm just going to be quiet because I had a Dan moment.
Yeah.
But okay, you want to know my. Oh, wait. That was. Damn it. That was last year, too. You it was Dan's fucking stupid cat movie.
No.
Oh, Dogs Don't Wear Pants or something?
Yes.
That was great. But that's not a horror movie. I'll admit, it's not a horror
movie. But it's still a genre picture.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I still need to see. I still need to try to check that one out. Because you did say there's some mutilated dick in there. So I'm all about that.
There's some cringy, but it's a BDSM movie. It's you know. But I dug it.
When that was last Dan year.
That was real? December. Yeah, it came out December of 2019. Okay. That actually was what made my list of last year really high. I fucking love that movie. You know what, though? That movie, Arch Enemy. Done by the guy who did Daniel Isn't Real, really disappointed the hell out of me. I think that was probably one of my biggest letdowns. You know, it wasn't like terrible, but I was expecting it to be fantastic, and it just wasn't.
Anything we're looking forward to?
Candyman.
This year besides Halloween
I'm
Kills?
Fucking pumped as fuck for goddamn Candyman. Obviously, Halloween Kills too. The fact that we're gonna get a Candyman movie and a Halloween movie in the same year, I'm so fucking happy about. I don't know if it's gonna make it this year. I really hope it does. But Antlers, I'm really interested in that movie. Probably my number one though is Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fucking awesome. And they've literally not even had a goddamn trailer for that movie. I'm like chomping at the bit just to get something about
it. Should be soon.
They said, well, now they're doing that. They're having those legal problems because of what Warner Brothers did. Like, I guess Legendary is like. May take them to court for it or something. So hopefully it doesn't delay it too long because I need that fucking movie in my life. Godzilla what? Resurgence anime that's coming out or Red Point. I forgot what the hell it is, but it's coming out on Netflix and it looks really badass where like all the kaijus are more like. They look more like dinosaurs and actual animals than like their traditional designs. So they're kind of like mixing up the designs to look, you know, more like a actual like organic dinosaur type of deal. Like Rodan looks like an actual pterodactyl and shit like that. Godzilla looks amazing. So I'm really excited for that because the last Godzilla anime on Netflix was trash. So I hope this one's good. But yeah, go ahead with what you were saying. Mm.
Yes, those lucky
Dan. I'm assuming you're excited for St. Maud.
Have it now. Well, not now. They don't because they're in lockdown.
It's next month. It hits Blu-ray in the UK, so we will definitely be covering the import disc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This month on HBO, The Little Things. It seems like it's going to be a serial killer movie type deal with Denzel and Jared Leto. So I'm fucking stoked, and of course. the Snyder Cut of Justice League, but I'll save that for another show.
Is that the one that's, isn't it like 4 hours, or were they exaggerating that? I know it's a long one.
Yeah, it's gonna, they're dropping it all on the same day, but it's gonna be four different episodes so they can air it separately. Oh, okay. After
sort
it's
of like awesome. You know, the Tarantino
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, you know what we neglected that I think we'll all agree with in the shit portion? Blumhouse. Some of those originals. Just Blumhouse. I don't even need to name the film.
Those assholes made my number one.
Evil Eye.
That Welcome to the Blumhouse shit was trash.
One was okay, but
yeah, the one with what's your name? You know what I did not mention?
I couldn't even.
I don't remember.
In honorable mentions, Love and Monsters. That one I really like too.
Yeah. I just got that up in 4K today, actually.
So did I. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm surprised I forgot to mention it.
Fucking Love and Monsters is really good. I wanna rewatch that. I really hope that movie gets a sequel because that world is really cool. Especially we need more American kaiju films, to be honest with you. There's not that many. In the recent years, we've gotten a lot with, you know, the new Godzillas and King Kong. And, we even got a pretty badass Rampage movie in 2019 or 2018. I really like that one a lot. But, I want more, original giant monster movies. Stuff like Pacific Rim's fucking badass. More of that, Hollywood, please.
Yeah. Oh, take you know money. What? I thought of another worst. This might, I don't know if anyone's going to think of anything worse. One of our last ones we watched this year, and that was Slade.
Oh, yeah, that was fucking dog shit.
Oh, I just, yeah, that's the problem.
that already left my brain.
Yeah. That was really,
that one was so bad. I tried to put that out of my brain after watching.
I did too, but I was scrolling through my movies and checking it. What did we miss that was shit? I got all the way to the end, and there it was, just sitting there with steam coming off of the flies.
We had a few we didn't mention. People. Peninsula, which didn't live up to Train to Busan, but that was good. I thought Swallow was really good. Yeah, it was a good movie. It just didn't live up to Train to Busan.
I don't think it also was good enough though for an honorable mention in my, you know, for me.
Yeah, there's other films, guys, that we liked, but
I think hashtag Alive was definitely, you know, the better Korean zombie film of the year.
It would have been a better sequel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That was close one.
Do you remember that Bigfoot movie? What the fuck was it called?
Monstrous.
Monstrous. Yeah, that was pretty bad too. Because the Bigfoot was cool, but everything else sucked ass.
Oh, the Shadow. That's right.
Ghosts of War is a good one. That my brother loves, and he's not a horror guy.
Dude, we're talking about bad ones now. You're going back. Can't you keep the format you're straight? Up.
The Mansions. Yeah.
yes, that one.
Dude, that movie. Did you guys watch that movie Sea Fever?
No,
I did not.
That movie was dog shit too. That really pissed me off.
I thought I liked it, but I saw that earlier in the year, so I can't remember.
It was so The Thing on a boat, and it totally wasn't The Thing on a boat, and it had this really
Harbinger Down
fucking end. Yeah, Harbinger Down was way better, 10 times the fucking movie that was.
So, do we think that 2021 has potential to match 2020? Because 2020, for such a shitty year in the world, was pretty damn awesome for horror. I think it's one of the best years for horror we've ever had. As far as quality, a lot of quality. I could name 50 films that were watchable this year, at least.
I do think it has a chance to either match it or beat it. My dude, Halloween Kills is coming out. Candyman. Like,
hearing about those movies, it's so hard.
Okay.
And
I've already failed.
No, it's not.
I'm just going to mention it just because I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by not bringing your name up. I'm bringing up Some of the Darkness is one to watch too, just because of Alexandra Daddario. So there we go. But I do know one.
That was Kruger, very fun.
You did not mention as your most anticipated movie of 2021.
What's that?
Psycho Gorman.
Oh shit! Yeah, yeah.
I get it. I totally
shame on you, Kruger.
I totally forgot about that. That I think that movie. I mean, that comes out at the end of this month, and man, like last year, Color Out of Space kind of set the bar for me, and this year it's going to be Psycho Gore, man. Anything that Steven Kostanski does is fucking goddamn phenomenal, and he's definitely one of my favorite effects guys. Actually, on the subject of effects, this is kind of super horror nerdy, but 13th Finger Effects did the effects for Color Out of Space, Possessor, and like so many goddamn movies, and like that were like some of the best horror movies this year. I think that studio for makeup effects totally killed it. Fucking, they're definitely one to look out for. Anything that they're involved with seems to be fucking awesome. So 13th Finger Effects, awesome shit.
Yeah. Oh, and Nick Cage, Wally, Escape from Wally World. Keep forgetting, but yeah. I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one too. Me being such a, it's so funny, man, because like I really dislike Nicolas Cage for a long time. I like Ghost Rider, but that was legit probably the only thing I liked of him for the longest time. And then fucking Mandy happened, and now he's like in like my favorite movie ever. Now it's fucking awesome. I hope he stays in horror for a very long time. He seems to enjoy it, so. Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is a gem, but you have to know how to work him, because like he will give you his all, but if the director doesn't know how to wrangle him in, he's gonna go off the rails, and that's happens all the time. But Nicolas Cage, you want to laugh? Awesome. He's cool.
Google Arsenal with Nicolas Cage, and you will see like not wrangling Nicolas Cage.
Don't ask him about his uncle's strange relationship with a certain director.
Who's extremely talented?
You mean that? Which one are you talking about? Smelling seats.
Oh shit! I totally left a movie out. Oh. Fuck, dude, Come to Daddy.
Uh oh.
Yeah, that was an early one. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the legend. Man, I really enjoyed out of that movie.
I did. Was that this year though, or last Halloween?
It came out in January, but yeah, it was another one of the ones that made its way through the festival circuit in 2019.
Yeah, it didn't hit till February this year. Okay, yeah, that was really fucking good too. Good call.
Yeah, it was fucking, that was a blast. I love Elijah Wood. He's such a goddamn fucking godsend to horror. The fact that, I love guys that like they make so much money that they just get to do whatever the fuck they want with the rest of their career. And that's basically what he's been doing. And he's brought out stuff like, Color Out of Space with his producing company, Spectrevision, that, is fucking awesome. Spectrevision's definitely, I think, like up there as like one of the best production companies. Like anything they put out is usually really fucking good.
Asking him about fucking Lord of the Rings, I was like, Spectrevision, dude, fuck yeah. See, and that made him want to talk to me a little more. He still owes me a photo, but I talked about Spectrevision and how like his remake of Maniac.
One thing. If you would have told me Frodo was going to replace Joe Spinell, I'm not, and I'm going to be okay with that and love it. I mean, I would have punched you in the face, like.
You didn't know me at the time, because like I was waving that flag all around. I'm like, he's Kevin from Sin City. He cuts a motherfucker's head off with bare hands. He's gonna be awesome. That
I was like, I had no issues because, like I said, like when he was, you know, blah blah blah, Frodo.
Frodo.
Yeah. When he was Willard, because you could see him get that twisted. And I've seen Sin City like once or twice. It's not something that like I instantly think of. I honestly don't remember him in it, but.
Oh, well, just Google
the, or one YouTube, of the few graphic novels I've read. And I remember forever ago now when he was like cast and everybody's like that little dude. And it's like, he's not going to, and they did the same thing with Maniac. I'm like, the guy's fucking brilliant. He's awesome. He can sell anything. And that's nice, Pugs. Yep. I can't imagine how many people come up to him and just go one ring.
Oh, dude, after we were done talking, he had like four people come up about Lord of the Rings. And don't get me wrong, he's gracious as hell, but it's like, give him something else to talk about. Sure. But again, if that's like your favorite
Have you ever listened to his podcast he has with the other guy he does Spectre Vision with? Yeah, it's fucking great. His especially his interview with Richard. He had one with Richard Stanley. He also had one with Guillermo del Toro. That's just so fucking goddamn good.
I had to just look up what his first thing was. You know, most people think Back to the Future 2. It's actually Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl. That's a long fucking time ago. He's also in Straight Up. Go figure.
Oh, shit. You know what? I can't believe we forgot this movie. The Good Things Devils Do. We totally forgot about that one. Fuck.
Yeah.
Percy, man. No. Percy. That was really can you take the two? Can you take my double barrel, bitch?
Skip over it.
There were a lot. There were a lot.
I feel bad.
You know what? I thought that was last year. I thought that one was.
No, that was.
Yeah. That's.
It was this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that one's also Flesh Moon approved.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could have sworn. Yeah. Okay.
Another. That movie, The Good Things Devils Do, proves that Kane Hodder can completely fucking like the rest of, don't get me wrong, the rest of the movie is great, but that movie proved that Kane Hodder can fucking like literally carry a whole movie, because anytime he was on screen it was like the coolest fucking shit ever. And like I know the director when we reviewed that movie commented and he was like, you know, I do have a lot of ideas for movies with Percy. I really hope that fucking happens, because just Kane Hodder just being Percy fucking going around killing motherfuckers, shooting bitches pussy off with shotguns, fuck yeah.
Is anybody also looking forward to American Horror Story strictly this season, strictly because of Macaulay Culkin? And that actually draws me in.
I haven't been paying attention, but yeah. Well,
I haven't seen it. I'm really behind on the American Horror Story. I literally just finished Asylum, which is like my second season I've gone all the way through and watched. So my next. My next one is going to be that 1984, and because I'm actually going in, because there is a chronological order. It's weird, but yeah, Macaulay Culkin. I think I think he'll do all right.
I'm
curious. I mean, I saw his brother. I mean, it wasn't really horror, but his brother, you know, in Scream was awesome, and also that movie, Lords of Chaos. Which is not really, it was kind of on the cusp of horror. There's some horrific shit in that movie. But
Dan's a big fan of the Culkins. For some really
I actually think the brothers are better. Like, but then again, Macaulay hasn't done a whole lot lately. So I don't know.
On the angry video game nerd last year. Calm down there.
No, well, I stand corrected. But yeah, his Kieran's fantastic. And yeah, but we'll see.
It'll
be the Elijah Wood moment for him. you could look at him a different way, because I do think he's talented.
Dan, I would love for you to get a photo with all the Culkins at a convention when that shit starts.
I have my Stranger Things.
We know. It's appeared on the show.
Shit, is that coming out this year?
Yeah.
The new Stranger Things?
I don't know when. It was supposed to. I believe so. Yeah, a lot of that stuff's filming again.
Hold up, isn't there?
No, California's not filming again. Dan. We're like four or fucking five
back not California, but nothing shoots in California. Somewhere. I want to say they were almost basically done Stranger Things. So
yeah, that's that Atlanta, right?
I know they film the mall thing down here. So yeah.
You know like what? That I just realized that Spiral sequel to Saw with Chris Rock. Yeah, that shit's gonna come out the fucking Book of Saw. In 2021 as well. Yeah, shit, man, isn't A Quiet Place 2 also supposed to come out?
Yeah, that was another one pushed. Pugs is excited.
Yeah, summer might be pretty packed by that point. We can get movies. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I don't think just blockbusters also. I mean, I think we'll get a lot of, just depends if they're going to try and drop them like now or if they're going to hold some for summer. But I am excited for Quiet.
I know there's one Blumhouse one I was looking for. I think it was a Blumhouse Tilt one that I can't remember the life of. The trailer was starting to go round right before everything. And the streaming service picked it up, but I can't remember what streaming service or what the hell the name of the movie was. I should probably look at a Blumhouse list.
And we probably saw the trailer like 1,000 times. No, it wasn't even that.
I saw it like twice, and I went like 3 times a week. So yeah. And it was only on certain things. It wasn't on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be. I don't know. St. Maud's probably my most anticipated so far, but there's a lot of.
Isn't that other movie from A24, the fantasy, what is it called? Like The Green Knight? Doesn't that come out this year too?
Yeah, it should.
That I have a feeling is going to be good because it's supposed to be like ultra violent and like crazy, as like ultra violent, like sex filled fantasy story. So.
I'm in.
Yeah. It sounds good. Like A24 too is another, like I think A24 and Spectre Vision are kind of like the two top cream of the crop when it comes to horror in 2020, especially when it comes to like more mainstream stuff, not super independent films.
At this point, since everybody wants to build these worlds, I want the A24 verse where we get the horse from spacing on the name, but we get all...
Dead Dicks.
No, not Dead Dicks. Fuck, I'm spacing on the name, but we get like some crossover. You know which one I'm talking about, the horse movie.
Well, I figured out what it was. It was called Run, Sweetheart, Run.
Well, there you go. I'm trying to.
Like I said, I saw it like twice, the trailer twice theatrically. So,
yeah. You know what, too? We had some good shows in 2020. Lovecraft Country, I fucking thought was fan fucking tastic. And also from HBO, what the fuck was it? Raised by Wolves.
That Raised by Wolves. Was
fucking good.
That was both my of those shows. Yeah. On the TV front, I loved Raised by Wolves.
Yeah, you know, I...
My number one is The Mandalorian, but yes, it was Raised by Wolves.
I'm going to get on The Mandalorian this year for sure, especially because I just... Like, so dude, good. I've seen so many cool creature designs, like, you know, because nothing's sacred with that fucking show. Everything gets spoiled instantly when it comes out. So I already know everything that's going to happen fucking both seasons.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah,
this is why I stay up and watch that shit ASAP.
Yeah, I haven't even blown away. I haven't even really gotten super into like the newer Star Wars stuff. The last Star Wars movie I watched was Force Awakens, so I'm a couple behind. And I've heard like everybody tells me I need to watch Rogue One.
Rogue One is it. Yes.
I like it.
Away from The Last Jedi as much as you can.
I know. I get shit from everyone.
You're crazy.
Return of the Jedi?
No. The Last Jedi. Actually, fuck that movie extra hard because now I can't just say Jedi and true. You know what I'm talking about.
You still can't.
That annoys me. they're as like age where it does is not work like the whole, if I tell you Jedi, like the you whole know return what I'm talking about.
Thing where if fucking a nerd of a certain age thinks of the king.
Yes.
Yes, I've never seen that one.
I do like that series or that franchise.
I don't dislike the Hobbit movies. I just kind of had lost interest at that point. That's all. I mean, I don't hate them. They're good, but
I was looking forward to it too because Manu Bennett was playing like the lead orc. I'm like, that's my dude from Spartacus.
The
fuck yeah.
UK's
and
Jim from The Office.
You know what? I totally forgot about this one. Pugs, I'm surprised you didn't bring it up. That Anonymous Animals should be coming out soon. A French movie.
What's the one you like ask me do we every day?
That. There we go. Oh, the trouble with being born. I want to see this movie so bad. I think it's going to be so fucked up. The premise alone is fucking.
I forgot. No. I know you've been talking you guys about remember it, what but the I can't is about, remember right? what it's about.
This dude, so it's a futuristic movie. This man's daughter dies, okay. but you can get a robot to replace her, and like they implant certain memories, and then there's memories of him like sexually abusing her. So like that alone is fucking nuts. Like who comes up with this shit?
He so, was.
Yes.
Or so they put the it in her just being born to and anonymous. Fuck with someone.
We gotta find the movie and watch the movie and see. I'm pretty sure he did it. If I'm writing it, he did it. they're gonna iRobot Ex Machina.
Another movie I'm actually pretty excited about, but I'm not sure if it's gonna end up coming out this year. It had a Indiegogo. Is that movie Cryptids? That's gonna be an anthology about different like cryptids around like the world, and the host of it is gonna be Joe Bob Briggs. I'm pretty fucking goddamn excited for that. I think that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. You know what? I totally forgot about Scare Package. Speaking of Joe Bob, that was my first review on the show, and that was pretty fucking good too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good times this year.
Another big one. I don't know if anyone's looking forward to. What about the Forever Purge?
Yeah, kind of. You know, the Purge movies. I like them.
Oh, it's Purge.
Yeah.
They don't always live up, though, to the full potential of that idea. Like, I've enjoyed probably every Purge movie that I can remember, but I always feel like, man, you could do a little more with that.
I'm the asshole who likes the first Purge.
Did I know?
The last one was the first Purge.
First.
Is it the one with the black people?
Yeah.
Okay, then I think that one was fine. But when you said first Purge, I thought you meant the first Purge that came out with Lena Headey.
Ethan Hawke one, the OG one, was like just fine. But I was like, man, that premise is kick ass, and that movie was just kind of average.
Yeah.
I kind of strayed away from those movies after a traumatic experience watching The Purge 2. I don't know if you guys remember that story, but it strayed me away from that series for a while. So I'm a couple behind. I've only seen, I don't even remember anything from The Purge 2, to be honest with you.
Is that the Patreon story?
Oh, shit. I don't think it is. It should be.
I thought it was. Oh, then I might be thinking of something else. Okay.
Yeah. So that's 2020, and we're looking forward to 2021. It's going to be a good year.
I don't know, man. Yeah, so fucking, Dan? We already had to review that fucking Shadow in the Cloud. It's not starting off too great.
it was fun, dumb.
And if you haven't seen that review, go check it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And see how happy Kruger was with it. Well, why don't we put over what shows we have coming up? We have... Before there was Toxie reviewing Troma's four sex comedies before Toxic Avenger, first, you know, four Troma films, not counting the other two. Yeah, that didn't make sense. Whatever. We also have the Final Destination franchise show coming up this next week. Yeah.
Yep. So,
that's some other stuff.
Yeah. And you can pretty soon you'll be able to hear what Kruger and all of us think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say Psycho Gorman 2 weeks, I believe.
Chomp, not the bit. Can't wait.
Yeah. That's yeah. All right. Well, do we have anything else before we get the hell out of here?
Just here's to a better year. Well, it's going to be hard to be a better year in horror, but better year in general. And be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And it all starts at $1, fleshwoundfeatures.com. And like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube.
And follow us across all the social media bullshits. And make sure you have a happy new year. And yeah, let's get it done. Get shit. Start enjoying shit. So
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Motherfuckers.